Let us pray. Father, thank you that we can be here this morning, and I pray, Holy Spirit, we invite you in. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are welcome to come and do in us what you want to do this morning. And I pray, Father, that you will guide my speech, that you will protect my tone, and that you will prepare our hearts to receive the sermon, Father. That our hearts be soiled, to cultivate, to receive the seed of your word. And may, Holy Spirit, may you come and water it, that it might grow and change our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. This morning we are beginning a sermon series through the letter of Paul to the Galatians, called Galatians. And I want to give you some background, but before that, so the title is By Faith in Jesus Alone. And we are going to deal with chapter 1 and chapter 2. But before I begin, let me speak on something that maybe you remember when you gave your heart to the Lord and everything was so fresh and you felt the new life and it was so awesome and you continued to grow in the Lord and everything was just so beautiful. But at some time in that growth, you started to feel that you must read more Bible and that you must pray more and that you must go to church. And then it begins this list that you need to check off of, yes, I have done this week. Yes, I've read my Bible. But somewhere in that growth, it became stagnant because maybe you began to focus on what you must do rather than Jesus, and from that be an outflow of what you want to do. There's a difference between what you want to do and what you must do. If I must love my wife, she's not going to have a good time. But if I want to love her, she's going to have a good time. If I want to do something, it looks a whole lot different than if I must do something, because it comes from the heart of a relationship of something. Or maybe you are sitting here this morning and you've not accepted Christ yet and you've not come to a place where you make that decision and you are feeling in yourself, maybe I must do this first or maybe I must not do this first before I can come to a place of accepting Christ. We all speak to those people that sometimes and you want to share Christ with them and they say, yes, let me first stop the sin, then I'll come to God. That's not how it works. Sorry. Like this, I've seen this video clip of this young guy or a pastor sharing a story what happened to him. This one guy came to him and said, must I stop smoking dope, weed, before I can become a Christian, expecting an answer? And the pastor says, no. And he's like, no, like, should I stop smoking marijuana, weed, before I can accept Christ? And he said, no. That's not how it works. You don't go clean yourself and then take a shower. You go take a shower to become clean. If you don't accept Christ, you're going to battle laying down whatever it is that is holding you back. So to deal with that first before you can come to Christ, not going to happen. You deal by it by coming to Christ and He sets you free and the power of sin no longer has a hold on you and then you can let it lay down. But we have this thinking that we must. We have a very legalistic frame of thinking when it comes to worshiping Jesus. Because you see, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's not a rules of musts. It's, I want to lay my life down and serve God. And Paul is speaking into that, and I want to take up from Galatians 2, verse 18. I'm beginning at the end and then going to the beginning. So bear with me this morning. God is saying something. Verse 19, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Meaning, if I could be saved by any other means than Jesus, then Christ died for no purpose. Morning. So if I want to add anything to being saved, add anything to becoming saved, then Jesus died for no purpose. That is what Paul is saying. So if I have all these rules and checkboxes that I need to check off, and I try to live by that, then we are essentially saying Jesus died for no purpose. But the message is so much deeper, and I want to get into that message. That if we read now from the beginning, Galatians 1 verse 1, it begins by, and we are going to do some light reading this morning, but the message is just so powerful that we cannot just skip a few verses. So Galatians 1 verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me. Have you ever read any other of Paul's letters where he says, Paul, a servant, or Paul, an apostle? But this is the only place where he says, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. It is interesting that who is the one that appoints? It's God that appoints, not man. We cannot appoint ourselves. God is the one that appoints us. But it goes on in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So now Paul is busy writing into a situation. Now let's get some context into this so that it can make sense to us. And that Paul, on his first missionary journey, before he began his ministry, they were worshiping and fasting in Acts. And the Holy Spirit spoke and said, set apart to me Barnabas and Saul, because Paul was then Saul. And then he began his ministry. And he went on throughout and to preaching so the gospel all over the, well, he went on the first missionary journey, is what we call that. And so the church of Galatia was most likely formed or established from 46 to 48 AD. And what he would do is he would go into the synagogue and he would preach the gospel, and then they might reject him, and then he goes and preaches to the Gentiles. And he shares that Christ died for you. You can have life through him. And so after he visited, he then writes this letter almost immediately to the church in Galatia. But now we have to ask, why did Paul write this letter to the churches in Galatia if he was there, just there? Because the main idea of the whole of Galatians is that we are saved by grace through faith alone. There's nothing we can add to be saved. And he is writing it because the church in Galatia, they were turning to a twisted version of the gospel. Because Paul would go and he would preach and he would plant churches. And then after him, there would come another group. We call them CP. They are from the circumcision party. Please don't vote for them. But they would come in and they would say, oh, it's awesome that you guys have been saved. You heard the gospel of Paul. It's so awesome. But do you guys, Paul maybe just missed one thing. Because he did not mention to you that when Abraham... So to be part of Abraham's promise, you have to be circumcised. And then they would lead people astray from Christ being enough to, now I need to accept Christ and now I need to fall back into the law, the very thing Christ set us free from. And then they began to fall into this twisted version of the gospel, to think that they are saved by Jesus, but they still have to do 1, 2, 3 in order to be saved. And in this situation, they had to be circumcised. But I would think that it does not end there, because once you accept one law and you have to obey one law, you have to obey all 300 and something of them. But he's writing and he's saying, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man. He is claiming something, that I am an apostle, not because men raised me, but because God called me. God is the one that calls you into ministry, not man. If man calls you into ministry, go check with God, because he surely would have something to say about that. But through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who were with me, to the churches of Galatia. And here he shares the gospel so beautifully in 3 verses. And I think if you ask around, if you look at what some guys are saying, is that if you ask around how many Christians know what the gospel message is, it's shocking how few know what the gospel message is. But let me share it with you. It's so easy. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. That's the gospel message. The gospel message is that we are sinners heading towards death, in this life and in the next life. But then Jesus came And he gave himself for our sins. He took our place, the punishment we deserve. He took it on himself so that we can be free and have eternal life. It's so beautiful that what we deserve, Jesus took on himself so that we can be free. And it goes on to deliver us from the present evil age. So whatever situation you're finding yourself in, whatever present evil age you are finding yourself in, Christ died for that so that you can be free from that. Is that just not so awesome? And for Paul, it means that the situation that he's in, the situation that he's facing in this church, the gospel is enough to deal with it. This a twisted version of the gospel, because we will go into the implication of that and to God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And then he writes in verse 6, this is why we can say he wrote to them quickly after he left them, because he's writing in verse 6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. What is this different gospel? Because if the gospel is that we are saved by Jesus giving himself, we cannot add on to that. And these guys were adding back the Mosaic law that needs to be followed to be saved. And he goes on to say, well, then if that would be the case, Christ died for no purpose at all, because there's no other way of salvation, only Jesus. And he goes on, verse 7, not that there is another one, but there are some who so trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. We hear of so many religious movements that began because someone claims that they saw an angel or something spoke to them and said, this is now the gospel. And we have the authority of the word of God to say that is not true. The gospel says Jesus alone, that's it. There's no other adding on to what we must do to be saved, because if we had to add to be saved, then Christ died for no purpose. It's going to make sense soon. And I'm getting there. And he says, and he goes on, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So we've learned two things so far about what Paul is saying, that we can know that God is the one that appointed him. And that the message he's preaching is not man's message, it's God's message. And this message, he is serving God, not man, because if he were to change his gospel, he would no longer be serving God. So we can know that God is the one that will call you. He is the one that appoints you. And he is the one that will make you. Because we are not here to serve man, we are here to serve God. In everything you do in life, you are here to serve God, not man. And maybe some of us, we need to check our hearts and say, am I still doing what I'm doing for God? Or am I doing it for those around me? Who do I want to impress? And Paul's really taking gloves off and saying, these guys are here to impress you with their eloquent speech, which he says in one of his other letters. It's the same people that followed him, so it's the same people he writes about throughout his letters. And he's saying, I am trying to please God. Or not trying, I'm not here to please man, I'm here to please God. And this is what pleasing God looks like, because Saul, or to Paul used to be Saul, but we will get to that. And then he goes on from verse 13, and he is giving credibility to himself that he can speak against these guys because they think they know something. Well, listen to this. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. These guys think they are zealous for wanting to bring back. I was more zealous. He was the Jew of the Jews. He was so eloquent. He was so learned. He was so smart. And he persecuted the church because he believed that Jesus was not the way. And let's quickly look back at his life. If we go to Acts to chapter 7. Verse 58. And we are going to read at the end of something that happened. There was a guy named Stephen in the book of Acts. And he preached the gospel. And he preached it so incredibly powerful that they decided they don't like this message. They are going to kill Stephen. Here is a guy who is preaching the gospel, and his reward is death. And if we read from verse 58, then they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold the sin against him. And when he said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose that day a great persecution against the church of Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, if we flip the page to chapter 9, verse 1, we read, but Saul still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest in verse 2 and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way that is following Jesus, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. That is ruthless. That is violently coming against God's people. So he's saying to these guys, look, this is where I was. If we go to Acts 13, I'm just going to read it, verse 9. But Saul, who was also called Paul. So we see the Saul guy, it's the Paul guy that's writing Galatians. And he's just saying to them, look, I come from a very, very rough background. Well, I wanted to uphold the law, but you know what? I met Jesus. I met Christ, and my life changed completely. If we go on in Galatians 1, verse 23, because now, next week we will hear of Paul, how he encountered the Holy Spirit and met Jesus face to face, and his life changed. And he's saying, they only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. Now there's some few things that we're already learning, that God appointed Paul, and he changed his life drastically, because the power of the gospel will change your life. It will set you free. It will set you free from anything that we want to come and add, because nothing we add will ever be enough. Because only Jesus is enough to be saved. Jesus is all we need. We don't need to add anything. More works, more this. Like reading Bible every day, so going to church every Sunday, that will never save you. There are people going to church Sunday after Sunday who have never given their heart to Christ. That does not make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is accepting that Jesus is the Son of God and that He is your Lord and your Savior. That saves you. No amount of good works will ever save you. No amount of Bible reading will ever save you. Accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, that will save you. As an outflow of that comes wanting to read Bible, wanting to pray more, out of a relationship. But if you read your Bible to be more saved, it's not going to work. It will just be words until you accept it in and it changes your life. So Paul, coming from the background that he came from, God appointed him. God gave him a message. God took him from being Saul to being Paul. This violent guy rising up against the church, the gospel completely changed, because there's power in the gospel. There is power in the gospel to change your life. And we read in verse 4, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. That word present means present, now. It's not some future thing, it's a now thing. It's like whatever you are battling with now, whatever is your present evil age now, Christ died so that you can be free from that. That's just so awesome. That's just so awesome. And then chapter 2, he just goes on to show that this message that he's preaching is not from man, it's from God, by revelation from Jesus Christ. That when he got saved, he went and separated himself for a few years, and then he came back and he sat with some apostles. And he goes on to say that they added nothing to me, meaning the gospel that he had received from Christ and the gospel they had, it's the same gospel. And that he was called to preach this gospel to the Gentiles. And they said, oh, that's awesome. So Peter is called for the Jews. Paul, you are called for, so the Gentiles go, go. And now there's this awkward thing that we find in Galatians 2, verse 11 to 14, about, and I'm going to paraphrase a lot. So Peter came to Antioch, or Cephas, if you're reading ESV, Cephas called to Peter, the same guy, comes to Antioch, and he sits with Gentiles and he eats, because the gospel says that we are all now part of God's people. There's now no longer separation between Jew or Gentile. We are all God's people. We are not saved by the law, so we are set free from the law because we have Christ. And therefore we can sit with one another and we can share with one another. This passage does not speak about food laws. It speaks about what the gospel came to do, that we can now mingle with one another because the walls of hostility has been broken down. And then when some Jews from the circumcision party came and Peter saw them, he stood up, no longer sat with the Gentiles and went and sat with the Jews. He was being hypocritical. Because if the gospel changes your life drastically, it calls for us to be consistent in our walk with God. That when we fellowship with others and someone else comes in, that we not decide, oh, now I'm not going to be Christian. Now I'm going to change my thinking or my association based on who walks in. That if you are at school or at wherever and you are with the not so cool kids, but then you sit with them and you associate with them, then the cool kids come and then you walk up and go be with the cool kids. That's wrong thinking when it comes to the gospel. Because we, in our walk with God, we need to be consistent to what saved us and changed us. That even if the people around us are not changed, that we stand consistent in what Christ came to do for us. That's what it comes down to. And Cephas, he was not. He changed his association based on who walked in, and Paul corrected him. And then he goes on from verse 15, and he says, and I want us to understand Paul's logic, and I'm going to first say this, that Paul said he's an apostle called by God, not by man. And then he goes on that this message that you are now being influenced by, this is not God's message. This is not the gospel that you saw that changed your life. This is not the gospel where you saw the Holy Spirit poured out. This is not the gospel. This is a different gospel, and it's not God's gospel, so don't listen to it. And then he gives to credibility that his former life in how he used to live, but then he met Jesus and he totally changed. And he realized and he knew that we are no longer saved by the law. So now he's speaking to Peter. Well, he's not speaking to Peter, but he's saying to us of this what happened. He's saying, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. There's nothing you can do that will save you other than accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's no amount of works you can do to make God love you more or less, because he already loves you so much that he gave his son for you so that you can be delivered and changed and set free and experience new life. No longer being labeled by your past. No longer being who other people says you are, but because of what God says you are. If God calls Paul an apostle, then Paul is an apostle. Whatever God calls you to be, that is who you are in Christ, because Christ set you free from your past life. That no longer has any influence on your future because Christ paid the price. So how can we now, with that life-changing power of the gospel, go back to trying to be saved by other means? It's not possible. And we do this. We have this thinking that we sometimes do and say, oh, if I can just do this more, then I'll be more saved. If I can just do, maybe I need to do this more. And we already have everything we need in Christ. And he goes on and he says these powerful words. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? What Paul is saying is that if we let go of the law, because Christ died for the law. He Christ fulfilled the law. We now have what is perfect, Jesus. The one that the Old Testament is preaching about and prophesying about is Jesus, who will come and fulfill all things. If we now accept Christ and we let go of the law, we are not sinners, because if that makes us sinners, that means Christ is a sinner. And he says, certainly not. We don't need to hold on to what we have been set free from. We don't have to hold on to the thinking, because Christ truly is enough. And he says, if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. Meaning, if I break down the law in what I'm saying, and then at the same time trying to say, no, but we need to do more works to be saved. We need to be more to be saved. Then we are breaking down the gospel message that we are preaching, that Christ is truly enough. And he says, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life you now live, you live in Christ. Your past has been dealt with. We've seen this morning so far that God is the one that approves you. God is the one that appoints you. God is the one that sets you free, that your past has no influence on the future that he has for you, that your past has been dealt with. Because how can you die to Christ but still have your old life? You cannot. So we die for that. To do that your past has no influence anymore, because the gospel, the power of the gospel, changes us radically, drastically, that we are no longer who we used to be, because we are saved by grace. We don't deserve this. We didn't do anything to earn it. And Paul says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus loves you, and that he gave himself for you so that you can be free. It's the awesome power of the gospel that changes us and transforms us. And then he goes on to say, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. As we grow in Christ, let us not fall into the thinking that I must do more to be saved, because you're already saved. Christ already died for you. Once you accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and you make him your Lord and your Savior, then you are saved. We have this thinking that we need to do more. And sometimes we fall into waves of some people saying that, yeah, but if you want to be saved, then you still need to do 1, 2, 3. No, we don't. Because the moment we say we need to do 1, 2, 3 to be saved, we are saying that Christ died for no purpose. Because it means that there's salvation outside of Christ, and there is not. There is not. Christ is a perfect promise. And in him we have everything we need. But what does that mean for you and me? And I've been saying it this morning, that maybe you need to be reminded that God has set you free from your past. It has absolutely no influence on your future, because when God looks at you, he sees his Son, Jesus, who paid the price for you. And that we are changed by the gospel. And I don't know where you are at this morning. I don't know how your relationship with God is looking like. But maybe you need to know that we are called to change. We cannot remain the same. Who we associate with or who walks in the room should not change our consistency in the gospel. We should remain the same in Christ, because he is our security. Yes, there will be moments of spiritual ups and downs, because it happens. You are here Monday, Wednesday, you are here, or January, February, March, you're feeling God in a way like you've never done before. But May, June, July, you just feel, God, where are you? He is there with you, always. We read our Bibles and we pray and we spend time with God because we want to grow with him, not because we must. We sometimes can create this religious laws for ourselves and feel victim to it, and then we forget that grace is enough for you to be saved. And that is the message that I have this morning, is that by faith in Jesus alone are we saved. Don't let anyone hold your past against you because Christ has set you free. Don't you ever worry about people's opinions, because the moment you do, you are no longer serving God. And God will appoint you. God has a calling for each and every one of you this morning, but He is the one that calls, He's the one that gives the message, and He is the one by the power of the gospel that will change you and set you free. I've seen we do this thing where we are saved by grace, but we walk with the shame of our sin. But then give that to God, because He died for it. Jesus died for it so that we can be free. And that's the message. I just want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you've allowed things to creep in, to add onto your salvation. You're saved by grace through faith alone. No other way. And if you ever hear anyone say that, just show them these verses. Ask them, read Galatians 1 and 2 yourself, and then you tell me, what do you think? It's nothing you can do or not do to make God love you more or less, because He's already given you everything, His Son Jesus. Let us pray. Father, I thank You that we can spend this morning in Your presence, and I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that You will bring change in our lives, that the gospel bring change in our lives, Father, that we identify that it is only through Jesus that we are saved and brought closer to God. We don't need approval of man, because You are the one that approves. You are the one that appoints. You are the one that sets us free. You do everything, Father, and we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. That is the power of the gospel, Father. And I pray may it become a reality in each of our lives, that we be changed and transformed to be holy, because You called us to be holy. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. The difference between living a life of understanding grace and one of religious law is, I need to do 1, 2, 3 to be saved. Or I need to do 1, 2, 3. But grace means God already did everything. We only need to accept Jesus into our lives. And when we do, we grow to live holy lives, because God is holy. We let go of the past. Whatever sin we bring in, we let it go. Amen. Be blessed. Be encouraged this morning that Jesus loves you and He gave Himself for you. And that is enough. Amen. Amen. You don't need words of approval from people, because God is enough for you. Amen. We have a last worship song to sing, and then we are done.